Hello out there, and welcome to the Danny
and Rihanna Show. This is Danny Pena, Rihanna's husband.
And this is Rihanna Emanuel Pena, Danny's wife. And we have a little story time to get into today. Part of it is why we have been away for a little longer than anticipated. Danny and I both have different reasons why we feel compelled to do this. So, Danny, do you want to explain to the people what's going on kind of overall, and then we can get into the details of our story?
So originally last week, we've been planning this for a while. We wanted to go to the zoo, the San Diego Zoo, because our daughter, Violet, she loves animals. She's always bringing it up. She has a lot of books about animals, right? So we're like, hey, let's take her to the zoo. I think this will be a cool moment for her. First time for her. First time for us in San Diego. And I heard nothing but great things about it, right? So we planned it out. We were driving over there. We were fine. Like, the drive was pretty smooth. Reed was excited.
I'm going to pause.
Yeah.
I was asking for you to give an overall so that we could, like...
Oh, sorry.
That's what I said. Just so for people who may need to tap out, have a chance to tap out. Could we take that back?
Sure. Okay. I could do it again. All right.
So I'll tee it up again.
Mm-hmm.
So today's episode is a bit of a story time about why we have been away from the show a little longer than anticipated. And Danny and I both have our reasons why we feel compelled to open up about this. But before we get into it, I do want to give a heads up that the story time is not all happy and involves some medical emergencies, some trauma around conception and pregnancy, and near-death experience. So just want to let people know that if you need to excuse yourself, be well. We love you. But if not, I'll go ahead and pass it over to Danny to get us started. And, you know, we'll go through the hard part first and then tell you why we wanted to share this with everyone.
Should we start with the reason why and then we start the story? We have never had an experience like this before, you know. And here's the thing, we've been trying to get pregnant now for the past couple months. And actually, we even had, you know, appointments with doctors just to make sure that, you know, we're healthy, everything is good, you know. So, and the crazy thing is we had that conversation, I think, a couple of days before this actually happened. So one of the reasons why, and look, I wanted for Ree to mention this before we start having this conversation. And she will mention why she wanted to talk about this on the show. But for my part, I think it is important for especially men. It is important for men to learn about the woman's body, to learn more about how pregnancy or, you know, things that happens during the pregnancy. I think it's really good for us to educate ourselves. You know, I'm going to give an example. You know, I had a conversation with someone. And I mentioned to them what happened, you know, with Ree. And it sounded like they were kind of confused. And it was because they really didn't understand how the process worked when it comes to pregnancy and so on, you know. And the thing is, this happens a lot around the world, you know. And I know it's been happening a lot. Because recently here in the States, because it's been coming up more in the news and everything, of like life-threatening pregnancy, you know, women where they had to choose making a very difficult decision because of their health. It could be life-threatening, all that stuff, right? So I was talking with Ree about this. I'm like, I think it is important for us to talk about this. Maybe we could help educate people because of our experience, you know, share our story, and hopefully we could, you know, even if it's just one person we could help that listens or watch the show. I think that's a great way for us to start having these conversations overall with everybody else, you know. So it's important. It is important. But I'm glad that we're having this conversation, Ree. I think it is important.
Yes. And, you know, I can get into one of my reasons maybe after we go through what happened to me specifically, because we're, of course, not medical experts. And,
no, we're not. We're not.
You know, we're just two people who are living life. And, yeah, I think we should just get into it, shall we? I think folks who may need to excuse themselves have had the time to do so. Yeah, go ahead and start us off. How did our long weekend go, Danny?
Well, I'll start with this. You know, we were very excited to take our family trip, take our daughter to San Diego. And look, we've been to San Diego maybe like together as a family, maybe once or twice. But it's been a couple of years, right? So we decided to go to San Diego because we wanted to take Violet to the San Diego Zoo. We heard nothing but great things. They say it's great to take you know, kids over there and family.
Violet loves animals.
She loves animals. Loves animals. She's always telling us like different animals. Every time she gets a book, she's like, okay, that's a tiger. That's a zebra. I'm like, we got to take her to the zoo. So we were excited. We've been planning this for a while. We were driving over there. Everything was good. Nothing but great vibes. Right. So we got to one of our friend's house that she lives actually in San Diego, because we were going to get there Friday, then Saturday go to the zoo. So we got there, I think it was like in the evening, I think maybe like around 6 or something like that. It took us a little bit because of we left close to rush hour. So it took a little longer for us to get there. Right. So we get there, you know, we parked. Everything was good. Happy. They even had food for us. Right. So I think an hour passed and Ree, you had like maybe one glass of wine, I think, right?
Yeah, I had crackers and cheese, you know, charcuterie, and one glass of white wine.
White wine.
One singular glass.
As
Danny mentioned, you know, we have been trying to conceive for many months now, so I'm not drinking a lot, and one glass of white wine is enough for me.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
So I was feeling good. You know, we ordered food, we're hanging out on the couch, and then my stomach hurt.
It was hurting a lot.
It was hurting a lot. And I was joking with my friend. I said, it's either gas or food poisoning or I'm having a miscarriage. And I was joking.
Yeah.
Because at that point, I did not think that I was pregnant.
Yeah. I thought it was food poisoning because we were driving to San Diego. And we were like, oh, let's go get some fast food, you know, drive through. We don't have to get out. We just eat while driving over there, right? So I originally thought it was food poisoning. So Ree gets up. She's like, I'll be right back. I'm going to go to the bathroom. Like, hey, do your thing. And you were taking too long, right? So I was like, wait, what's going on? So I go to the bathroom and I see Ree on the floor. She told me that she fainted. So I got scared. I was like, wait, wow, this food poisoning is like really bad. So again, I'm still stuck with that. I told Ree, I think you should go upstairs and just lay down. So we went to our friend's. They have like a bunch of rooms, right? So we stayed in one of the rooms and Ree lay down. I went downstairs and I started talking to our friends. I was there like maybe for like 2 hours or so. Ree hit me up and she's telling me that it's getting worse. And she's like, this is not normal. This is not no stomach ache. Something is off. I feel like I'm dying. And I got really scared, not gonna lie. And I think your mom also called me because you were having a conversation with your mom.
Yeah, I was calling my mom while I was upstairs because this was, let's say, from 7 p.m. to maybe 10. Yeah. Kids were put to sleep. I'm in the next room trying not to moan too loud and also kind of not able to move because of the pain. And it's getting worse, not better. And I'm not getting the urge to go to the bathroom or throw up. I'm just dizzy and then an hour has passed and I'm like, what happened? So that's when I started, you know, calling my mom like, hey, does this sound normal? She's like, no, you should call Danny. And So I think I messaged you. I said, help.
Like I said, yeah, can you come up? And now, and yeah. You called me too. Because I think you messaged me. I missed it, but then you called me. I picked up. It was like a couple minutes after that. So when I got there and I hugged Ree, she felt like you could tell like she was cold. So I thought it was the AC upstairs because the AC was blasting. But Ree was like, no, I'm not feeling good. I feel like I'm dying. I was like, wait, hold on a second. So we decided to go to urgent care. And long story short, I was trying to take her with our car, try to go to the urgent care. We were having issues with the garage. It wasn't opening. I was going crazy. I went upstairs to talk to our friends. They were not completely knocked out. They were not opening the door. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to call Uber. Because originally, I know your mom mentioned about ambulance, and you were like, no, not the ambulance.
Yeah, I mean, if you have insurance, and if you live in the United States, you know, like an ambulance fee is a pretty intimidating prospect. And so, yeah. Again, we're still thinking, I'm just having digestive issues, or maybe an appendix issue. Like we were thinking it was something
sure
not life-threatening. Mm-hmm. So Danny called an Uber.
I called Uber. He arrived within 2 minutes. It was like super fast. Oh my God.
Real fast.
Ree was in the car because I didn't want her to be standing because, you know, she's been fainting a couple of times upstairs at her friend's house. So Uber arrived. I'm like, oh, Ree, come. So I took her out and I towed her away here. And I'm looking and I noticed that the Uber driver parked a little bit further up because he thought it was at a different location. So I had to run over there to get him. And I was actually screaming like, hey, I need to go to the urgent care. This is an emergency. Please, can you help me? My wife is not feeling good. I also mentioned that because I didn't want him to think, look, it's a weekend. It was very late.
Sometimes and I probably looked drunk. Like I was passing out for sure. Yeah.
So the first thing I told him, like, she's not feeling good. This is an emergency. We have to go. So he came, reversed super fast. He actually helped me to pick up Ree because Ree again fainted. So we picked her up and we put her in the back seat of the car. And I was with her too. And we flew. We were this guy was driving so fast. Shout out to the driver. I wish I knew his name. But so we get to urgent care, the first one. It was actually closed. They said that they were not helping unless you got her from a job or something like that. I'm like, look.
So kind of workers' comp, urgent care or something.
I was like, look, we're not from here. We need urgent care like now. My wife is not doing good. So she gave us another location. It took us like a good 15 minutes to get there. So I was like, oh, another 15 minutes. You know, that's 30 minutes of Ree still in pain, right? So we get to the second location. Now they're helping us. They told me where to get a wheelchair. I brought it out. We got Ree to be on in a wheelchair, took her inside.
The driver was so helpful.
He was so helpful.
He helped get me in the wheelchair too.
He was so helpful. Yeah. So when we got there, they were asking so many questions, but then they moved everything fast because they noticed Ree was not looking good. So they were like, don't worry about paperwork. Just give me your ID. We'll figure out the rest later. I'm like, all right. So Ree got in. We talked to the doctors that were there. They asked a couple of questions like, hey, are you guys pregnant? Have you been drinking? And like, you know, usual conversation be like, no, I'm not pregnant, you know, stuff like that. So they took some blood out and from Ree. And I believe a couple of minutes later, they came back and they were like, oh, you're positive. I'm like, positive of what? We were clueless. We were like food poisoning, right? And they told
us, still thinking appendix burst at that
point. Yeah, So after that, he's like, oh, no, you guys are pregnant. She's pregnant. I was like, wait, what? And I looked at Ree. Ree looked at me. We both cried. We started crying because we've been trying for a while. It was a very special moment because we thought it was going to be hard, honestly. And, okay, so...
At that point,
I've been thinking.
Still in pain, At that point, I'm still in pain. Mm-hmm. I'm really cold, but also sweating. They keep putting warm blankets on me. I am getting an IV, I think. I think they hung an IV at that point. And, yeah. To help you with the pain. Help me with the pain. And they're just asking me, are you okay with this medication? Are you okay with this and that? And honestly, Danny just answered for me because I couldn't really tell what was going on. And then they say, okay, it's time to go take you for some tests. So they go to wheel me out to radiology. And they wheeled me, like, across the universe. Like, this was a fantastic facility. But their radiology area was, like, several long hallways and two elevator banks away from the urgent care that they admitted us to. So it was a journey. And bless their heart, I guess the RN or the nursing assistant that was wheeling me through was good company. We were cracking jokes and stuff, and she was warning me about all the bumps because, you know, it hurt a lot. And so that was felt like a long time. I don't know how long it was. But when we got to ultrasound, they laid me out on the table. They tried to do the ultrasound, and they asked, like, have you gone to the bathroom recently? And I said, no, it's been a while, I guess. But I haven't had much to eat or drink, just, you know, that one glass of wine and maybe some water in the car hours and hours ago. They said, well, we could try to go to the bathroom. There's too much fluid. We can't really see what's going on, which is an indication that there's a lot of blood in my abdomen. And they say, okay, well, we can't really see anything on this ultrasound. And they try to do a different type of ultrasound, same result, too much fluid. So they say, okay, let's go to a CT scan, which is nearby, a couple doors down, I think.
Yeah.
And they move me over to the CT room. They get ready to lift me off of the, you know, travel bed and onto the CT scanner bed. And I don't know what's happening. I can see the person who is with me and the radiologist. And I feel like I'm talking, but it's like that thing in a dream where, you know, like if you're running, but you're not moving, like feels like you're moving through molasses, or if you're, you know, you're trying to speak to somebody, but it's muffled and they can't hear you. That's what it felt like. So then the young woman was like, hey, you know, stay with me. You there? Like, hello. Like, and she's like shaking my shoulders and. I'm moving my arms and I'm trying to be like, yeah, but my hands like won't do what I want them to do. And I'm kind of like fuzzy. And I hear her say over their, you know, radio system. She's like, I think we have a code blue. And several people come into the room, one of whom is holding a defibrillator, the paddles. And like, when we tell the fast version of the story, it's easy to joke about it. Give me a second.
Take your time. You know, I'll tell you this. I wanted to make sure that Rihanna was going to be ready to talk about this, and you I really. Yeah, I know you really wanted to do this. So I told her, like, you sure? You said, yeah. I'm like, all right. If this is what you want, I'm going to go and support you all the way and have this conversation with you. So take your time, Ree. If it's something that's going to be really hard, take some time. Okay?
I can do it.
Okay.
This is important.
Okay.
I saw a tunnel, and when I tell the joking version of this, it's like the 007, like the GoldenEye tunnel, where it's like the gun barrel and the spiral. And at the end of the tunnel, there's I don't know if I could find a picture of it to like insert for people who are watching on YouTube, but there's this picture of my grandmother, I call her Oma, where she's like standing in front of a doorway with like a light source behind her and a muumuu. She's got her arms out and she's like, hey, and it's just very her. And I saw that. And my grandmother passed away when I was a kid. And she left such a huge impact on me. Our daughter is named after her. And I heard her say, you gotta go. Like, no, you gotta go. And she kicked me out. She kicked me back out. I said, I'm still here. And I said, I'm still here out loud. They heard me say it. It was, I said it out loud while on the table. And they said, okay, she's still here. We need to go to surgery. And at that point, I really don't remember much of what happened. It's very blurry, but I think Danny could probably take it from there. I know at that point they took me back to where Danny was and mm-hmm. started getting ready to move me to the hospital, like the surgical area of the hospital, which was not in the same building. Is that right?
It's like less than a mile away. So remember, I don't have my car. So
yeah,
I brought that up multiple times. I'm like, look, we're not from here. So, but when Ree got back with the team, with the doctor, nurses, and everything, I remember you came in. You said, "Oh, we're no longer positive." I was like, "I think you said something like that." I can't quite remember exactly what you said. And I'm like, "Oh, so." That's when they brought up that you had a lot of blood, that you were losing a lot of blood.
And internally. Internally.
So we needed to make a decision about an emergency surgery, life-threatening. Like, this was like, it had to be done ASAP. And I'm like, let's do it. And I remember they mentioned about you getting blood and all that stuff. And you were like, Danny, yes, yes to everything. Just sign it. Let's do what we got to do. I'm like, okay. So I said yes, I signed. Ambulance came, picked us up. Thanks to the whole team for taking care of you at the urgent care. Now we're going to the second one, the main hospital. And the good thing about this part is that they're all connected as part of the same network. So it was easy to, once we got there, they already had all the information. Like, it was quick, right? So, so we got there, and they were like, they got Ree, took her to her room. I was downstairs waiting, actually, because I didn't know what was going to happen. I thought I had to wait here during surgery. But the thing, what they told me is we needed to get a room first. So that took a little bit, not long. It was maybe like 20 minutes or so around there. Meanwhile, I'm talking to her mom, telling her, mom, hey, we're in the hospital. You know, Ree's going to get surgery, this and this and that. So now they got me. They took me upstairs to where Ree was at before surgery. And they gave us multiple scenarios of, like, different type of surgery that might happen depending on the situation, you know, once they're going to start. So, again, Ree was saying yes to everything. She was like, yes, 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 sign, sign, sign. I was like, all right. So now it's time for surgery. So
at that point, my mom got on a flight, I believe.
No, she got a flight like around 4 o'clock in the morning. She bought it, flew out like around 10 or something like that in the morning. Okay. Yeah. And she got there after you were done. Actually, you were in a recovery room.
Right.
So, but while all this happened, I'm in the waiting area, so I'm the only one. There's nobody there. You know, I'm falling asleep. You know, I haven't done this, you know, staying up all night in a very, very long time. So it was really hard for me, really, really hard. But at the same time, I was scared. I wanted to make sure that Ree was okay, you know. Now, I'm also, while I'm in the waiting room, there was multiple TVs, and they were giving updates about different surgeries, and it looked like there was two, that one of them was Ree. So I knew it when they started, and I was just waiting for one of them to turn like recovery. That's when I'm like, okay, this could be Ree. So then I was waiting, and the doctor came, and the first thing the doctor said to me when she came out, she goes, thank God that you came here on time, because if you would have waited till the next day, she could have died. You basically saved her life for bringing her here. I won't take full credit on that because, one, Ree mentioned it to me. Two, I have to thank all the doctors and nurses that were helping too, you know. So I'm very, very thankful. I'm thankful that everything went smooth. They told me that she lost a lot of blood.
Almost 2.7 liters.
2.7 liters.
And is what they removed. Now, to be clear, they did a laparoscopic surgery, which means they put a camera through my navel and two tools through my left and right abdomen and inflated my belly and looked around, sucked up as much blood as they could. Afterwards, the doctor told me they were, like, tilting my body up on the table to, like, help drain it. Because, you know, I was laying down, so it was, like, down and around my lungs and across my back and stuff. So they were trying to, like, pull it all into a place where they could reach it to vacuum and pulled out blood clots and found my right fallopian tube had erupted. And that's what happened. I had a miscarriage or an ectopic pregnancy, and they had to close that off, so no longer functions. My right ovary's okay, my left side's okay, but they did an incredible job of removing all the blood that they could. It's possible even more was still floating around in there, and they gave me two blood transfusions while I was in surgery, which we, of course, signed off on ahead of time. Well, Danny signed off on ahead of time on my behalf. And in recovery, I actually ended up needing two more transfusions because for the following 2 days, my heart rate would not dip below 130. My resting heart rate is somewhere in the low 90s. And it was tired. I could feel it. My heart felt heavy and tight, and I couldn't take a full breath because my lungs were still pretty bruised from just being surrounded by blood. And I didn't have enough blood in my body for my heart to keep pumping it to everything that needs oxygen fast enough. So my heart's working overtime for several days in a row. I'm also trying to heal. For those who don't realize, once you know you no longer have a pregnancy that your body's preparing for, I had a period on top of that, so I'm also losing more of that blood. It's a lot of blood that I'm down, right? So, the two additional transfusions, my heart rate's, I think it was in the 110s before they dismissed us, but it took a long time. I was on a constant IV. I still don't feel normal. My hemoglobin I tested last week was at 9.5, which is great. They want it closer to like 11, 12 for quote unquote normal. So, I get winded quick. I get tired quick. I also have surgical wounds that I'm healing from, so I can't lift my baby for another month, which is really tough. For all kinds of reasons. And I will heal. I have chosen to focus on, well, I'm trying to choose to focus on the fact that we now know that we can conceive, which we weren't sure about. So that's beautiful. We didn't get to know this pregnancy, so there's not as much mourning as what I know a lot of people have had to go through. But it is still a loss, you know? There's still a sense of what could have happened instead. And if I had decided to just not be a bother and sleep it off, I would have never woken up. And I've spoken before about trusting my voice in not being afraid to be heard or seen and how important it is. And it's the lesson that keeps on coming back to me. And I can't do anything except try to spread it as far as possible because I know how impactful it is, especially something like this. If you're not feeling right, you have to ask for help. You have to ask for help. You may not know what it is. It doesn't matter. You can't be silent if you're in pain, period. You can't. It costs too much if you do. So that's my reason for sharing this. And not just in the case of, you know, a medical emergency like we experienced, or not just in the case of pregnancy related things. And I don't give a shit about what politics you believe in or where you live or what they have to offer you as far as help goes. Just ask for help if you need help. If you're hurting, you need help. Period. Period. If you're hurting in any way, please speak up.
Yeah.
Please just speak up and do your very fucking best to surround yourself with people who will listen to you. Because not everybody has that either. And I am so blessed to have Danny. I'm so blessed to have my friends who took care of my child while we figured out how to take care of me. I'm so blessed to have a mom that will fly on a plane in a heartbeat to be there by the time I come out of recovery and wake up. Mm-hmm. I'm just so blessed to have all of the support that we have received from our friends and family and people who know what we've been going through. Like, it's just... life is so important and so fragile. You have to fight for it. Mm-hmm. You just have to.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my parting gift. Mm. Ask for help. Fight for it, because it's worth it.
Yeah, I also want to say thanks to our friends and family that hit us up during this very, very difficult time. And you know who you are. I have to say all the names, but thank you so much, because it was hard for us. It was very, very hard for us to stay in the hospital. You know, Ree was still not 100%. I didn't know if we were going to leave, or I thought we were going to be there for a very long time, you know. By the way, how everything was looking, you know. So, but then eventually we started getting healthier and better, you know. And I know people want to know how you're feeling now, Ree, because, you know, it's been over a week and something.
Well, since the Friday everything started happening, it's been a week and a couple of days.
Yeah. A week and a couple of days, yeah.
How am I feeling now? Better.
Yeah.
Still pain, obviously. I had a surgery, right? So they cut up stuff, and that hurts and itches a lot. The sutures itch a lot. But everything looks fine. Like I said, my blood levels are looking really good. That's very encouraging. We have followed up with our OB here and like all of that. We know, you know, what our next steps are. So that helps my anxiety quite a bit, because I didn't really get into it, but I had a panic attack in recovery. And that part is always really hard to manage too, but not as relevant. And I'm feeling okay as far as like mental state goes. I do intend to find more help in dealing with the near-death stuff, because it's like it kind of breaks my brain sometimes. And the mourning is normal, and far too many people have gone through it. And I know we're not alone, and we'll get through that part together. But when people ask how I am, for the last week, it's been like, I'm here. You know, like, I don't really know. But I'm here and I'm grateful, and I feel stronger. Maybe a little more scared, but also at the same time, a whole lot more brave. Like,
sure.
I just want to live my life, period. Like, I don't want to waste any time on anything at all that isn't happiness and wholeness for me and the people I love. 'Cause it could be gone in a heartbeat. And I know that so much more intensely now.
Yeah.
But I have to be patient with my body, with the world, and with this process. And that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to do.
This is why, and people know me, how I am online when it comes to like social media and all that stuff. This is why I don't like wasting my time on arguments and going back and forth with people. You only live once. Is it worth it? No. You know, what's important to me is making sure that my family is okay. Rihanna, our child, Violet, our family members, you know, our close friends, the people that also been there for, you know, been there and helping us, and, you know, we helping them and all that. That to me was important. You know, this whole other negativity has been happening. I completely ignore it. It's a completely waste of time. I'm always going to have Reese back no matter what. You know, when you told me that you were feeling sick and you were not 100%, I was like, F everything. I'm going to take you to the hospital. That's what's important for me, to see Ree that it's okay, that she's okay, that she's healthy, you know. I just want to say that because, you know, it is frustrating when people just focus so much on the negativity, and the negativity, I feel like, get overshadowed, then it gets more attention than the positive part about life, you know. And people don't talk about that. You know, there's people that have gone through the same exact thing, and sometimes they're alone. They don't have no one. And, you know, how difficult it is for them to communicate to other people, like, hey, I need help, you know. So that's why I'm thankful. I'm thankful that we were in the state of California. That's another thing, too, that I'm very, very thankful about that, too, for different reasons. And I'm thankful that we had the right people that took care of you, Ree. And here's the thing, and I mentioned this earlier, we don't go to San Diego. we're just like, we've been talking about it for months. Like, ah, let's just go one day, you know. And but imagine if that would have happened in Los Angeles. It would have been even harder, because now it's me taking care of Ree and Violet,
yeah,
at the hospital, you know.
Yeah, the what ifs are really
it's scary. The what ifs
scary.
Yeah.
For all kinds of reasons, for mm-hmm. sure. But yeah.
But yeah,
I applaud Danny for saving my life, and also wanting to share this with the men in his life. And being so open about it, which is not easy, because just like many women have gone through this, too many. A lot sure. of men have too. And mm-hmm. there's grief and loss and fear there too. And mm-hmm. it's important for Danny, for you, and for other people who have been in your position to know how to begin to process that as well. And knowledge is power, right? Like you said in the beginning, the more people know about what could happen, again, this is just my experience, our experience. Mm-hmm. Many different things could happen for any number of reasons to other people. But, like, the common thread is, like, you got to know what the risks are and what to do when something doesn't feel right. And to believe women, to believe people when they say they need help.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else, Ree?
That's it.
You know, we just want to say thanks to everybody that still listens and watches the show. We'll be back again, talk about other stuff, you know. Ree is going to be healthier, of course, because she's getting better every day, which is good.
Yeah. Hopefully more information, less tears next time.
Yeah. So, but I'm very proud of you, Ree. I know you're doing your thing behind the scenes. You're still kicking butt. So, yeah.
Thanks, Danny.
Yeah. So, all right, everyone, thank you so much for watching. Make sure to comment, subscribe. Please subscribe, please. It doesn't matter if it's on YouTube or the podcast services out there. Just make sure to support us and let us know your thoughts, you know, about this conversation. So until next time, we're out. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.